Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion. My name is Anthony Stafford and I'm here with my co-host Samuel Hazelton, and we both are pastors of a local church in Schenectady, New York called Electric City Baptist Church, and we are excited to be on the air with you today. You may ask, why do we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion? And that, my friend, is a great, great, great question. We believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And the Bible teaches very clearly that the righteous ought to be bold as lions. And we believe that this show ought to be bold, and we ought to operate as our namesake, Old Lion and Young Lion. And so we have Sam Hazelton, an elder, and Anthony Stafford, the younger, being the Old Lion and Young Lion on today's show. We study the Bible and we declare its truths boldly. If you have any questions ever that you want to be on the show, or you want to get a shout out or be a sponsor of a show, anything like that, you can shoot us an email at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We're excited to engage with some of our listeners. And as our followership has been growing, we want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Share it with some friends. We're on YouTube. We're on the radio. Shout out WPTR. We're on Spotify. We're all over the place. So get this show out there. We'd love to kind of share the word with as many people as we can. Furthermore, let me just double check today's sponsor, and we thank you for Lizzie's lessons last week, but we want to shout out Benjamin Legend, Ben Legg. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's show, and we wish you peace and happiness to your future endeavors. Follow the Lord in everything that you do, and commit yourself to studying the Word of God. Thank you, Ben Legg, and thanks for sponsoring today's show. Old Lion, if you would, please, as we do every week, could you open up our show in a word of prayer?
Lord, we thank you so much. You are the truth. Your word says that I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So we acknowledge you today, Lord Jesus, that you are the truth. And I'm so happy that we're able to do this Theologies series, and we're digging into those important and key truths from the Word of God. I pray today that as we get into maybe our favorite of all of these ologies is Christology, we get into this study of the nature of the Savior, the Son of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd anoint us and help us to make these mysteries plain and clear to everyone who hears our voice. Father, I pray that you would draw them to faith by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. And I just want to also shout out a brother of mine, Caesar Singleton, and he's went home to be with the Lord this past week, and he was an absolute soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am recording this show in honor of you, Caesar, so thank you very much. But wherever you are and whatever you've been going through, trial or triumph, we hope that this show brings you just a step closer to your Creator, to the mission and purpose that God has for you, and that you find faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christology, that's the topic of today. Before we get into today's topic, Old Lion, can you just give us where we've been, kind of where we're going in the future, and a little tidbit of what we're going to be talking about today?
So we're going to be covering a bunch of ologies over the next several weeks. Last week, we talked about theology proper. And before that, we talked about bibliology, the king of all the ologies. All the truth that we believe and understand comes from the Word of God. And theology proper is the nature of, first of all, is there a God, and what is he, and what are his attributes? And we dealt with that last week. We found out that where there is a painting, there must have been a painter.
Right.
And so this week, we're getting into Christology, which is the nature of who is Jesus. And I want to read a little verse out of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16.
Let's go.
Starting in verse 13, it says this: Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Verse 15, but he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so this notion of who is Jesus Christ is really the essential question for every single person. Is he just a prophet? Was he a good teacher? Is he a man who was deceiving the people, as some believe? Or was he the very Son of the living God, the Christ, the Messiah? And we're going to get into what is the nature of Jesus today. And
we need to pay attention to what Old Lion just said. And he put forth a question to you that you need to answer. And this show is a little bit different than our other theologies shows, in that this is one of Old Lion and Young Lion's favorite topics in Scripture. And not just because we like it, like we might like one of our hobbies. We like this because it is the very balance in which souls of men can be saved. Asking who Jesus is the ultimate question of every single person's life. You might think where you're going to college or what job or who you're going to marry or what kind of good you're going to do in the world. You might think all these are valid questions, and they are. But the question of who is the Christ, who is Jesus Christ, that question transcends all of time and every decision that you've ever made in your life. Whatever holiday you've had fun with, whatever New Year's resolution you've made, whatever vacation you've been on, nothing presses your life more than the question, who is Jesus? We're going to get into some of that today. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, after he says, I don't want you to be beguiled, to be tricked, to be lied to. He says, for if anyone that cometh and preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit whom we have not received, or another gospel if you have not accepted, he says, do not stay with them. Do not listen to them. Do not bear with them. Do not even give them the time of day. Paul says, if you have the wrong Jesus, if you have the wrong gospel, if you have the wrong spirit, do not spend time with those people. So in the world, there's many voices, there's many sounds, and there's many Jesuses, if you will. But there is only one Jesus. There's only one that saves. There's only one name given among men whereby ye must be saved, and that's Jesus. So this is important that we find out who is Jesus. Christology, the study of Jesus, his person, his nature, and his work. So let's look at a couple of the maybe false Jesuses that have been put out. Let's look at over the years, what are some people, what are some of the things, Old Lion, what can you tell us to watch out for? What have people done in order to try to trick and beguile people into false Christs? What do you see in your research? What have you seen throughout the history of the church where people have made a false Jesus come to the forefront?
First of all, I want to clarify here that what we're talking about, Christology, who is Jesus, what is the nature of this Son of God, is a mystery.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely a mystery. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. And it says, God was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Admittedly, every Christian has to acknowledge, hey, it's a mystery.
That's you good.
Know, even the disciples of Jesus, they're in the boat with him. And he stands up and he rebukes the wind and the waves,
right.
And there's a tremendous calm. And they're looking at each other, who is this? That even winds and waves obey him. Who is this? This is the ultimate question of life. But from an early time, when God did something great through the church in the first century, after the Lord Jesus was crucified and was raised and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples in Jerusalem, and the church absolutely exploded, went throughout the known world. The disciples went everywhere proclaiming the truth about Jesus, and the whole world was turned upside down, literally. But every time God is doing something good, Satan is always going to be there trying to pervert it and destroy it until he is completely taken out of the way, which is going to happen, by the way.
I can't wait. It's a great day. Satan is always putting forth not just false Christs, but lies, deception, inversion. He always is trying to misrepresent himself as the God of this world. Though he has that power now, he will not for long.
So we see this progression, so to speak. And I'm going to give very rough dates and rough numbers here.
And feel free to look this up, folks. Go and study some of this stuff out on your own he's about to share.
So first came what we call the Gnostics. And the Gnostics were those who said, well, this Jesus, He couldn't have really been just a flesh and blood human being, because they believed, as Gnostics, they believed that all matter, all flesh, all physicality was by definition evil. They actually thought that the creator God of the Old Testament was an evil God. So they assumed that anything that was flesh and blood was by definition sinful or by definition evil. And so they surmised that Jesus didn't even really have physicality. He wasn't in a physical body. He only appeared to have a physical body, and he was really all spirit. And that's how they, in their conception of the world, saw things. This is the very first kind of heretical. And so you had guys like Marcion, who actually couldn't read the whole New Testament. They cut out all the books except for the letters of Paul and tried to support their theology and took partial bits of the gospel to try to support their idea of this non-physical or non-fleshly Jesus. Then in about 200 AD, about 100 years later,
here comes the next one.
The next group of people that came challenging the truth of the gospel, truth of the Bible, were called the modalists. And these were people who imagined that the Lord Jesus Christ was just a manifestation of God in a certain way, and the Spirit was another manifestation of God, and God the Father was another manifestation of God. So it was the same one God. He was kind of practicing some theater. It was like a puppet show going on where the same guy is behind the puppet show, and he's got both puppets, one in his right hand, one in his left, and he brings up and talks through one here and talks through the other here, as though God was kind of deceiving the world into the idea that there's not a separate Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but they're all just different manifestations of God at different times.
And a lot of people are still caught up in this one today, old man. So that's why we're giving you this warning. You need to be careful of these ancient heresies, and there's nothing new under the sun, though people might try to repackage it. This modalism has been around for over 1,500 years. So keep going. Give us the next warning.
So anyway, with respect to the modalists, in answering them directly, the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified, he's wrestling with what he's about to go through, taking on the sin of the world, and he's in great stress, and he's sweating great drops of blood, and he goes to his father. He said, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me," he says, "nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And so clearly there are two wills going on here between the Father and Son. It's not just two manifestations of the same person, it's actually two different wills at play here. So we know that Jesus and his Father were distinct in their persons. Okay, the next one here that came along after the modalists were the Arians, and this is about 300 AD. So 100 AD was the Gnostics, 200 AD the modalists, 300 AD the Arians. And the Arians came along, and their shtick was that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh. In fact, Jesus was just a created being. He was like one of the angels. And right. So he was created, and he was sent on a mission to be kind of like a heavenly fall guy for humanity. And it wasn't God himself wrapped in flesh, as it says in 1 Timothy 3:16 and so many other places.
This is another one of those that's around a lot today. And we need to be careful that we ought to study and learn of who Christ is, because you might even have some tendencies of modalism or Arianism as well. So this is good. These are good warnings. Go on.
And there's an interesting relationship between modalists and Arians. I like to think of them as you're going down the road, and there's a ditch on the right and there's a ditch on the left. And modalism is one ditch where you go into where you really deny the personhood of the Son of God, and you say, oh, there's just this one God who's this blob, this eternal blob in the heavens who just kind of manifests himself in different ways, however he feels. That's one ditch. And on the other side, you react to that and you say, no, Jesus has form, but he was just a created being. God is still this ineffable blob in the heavens, but Jesus is a form, but is just a created form to represent him. And so my answer to the Arians is simply this. You see in the scripture, everywhere you go, Jesus is being worshiped. He's receiving worship. The Bible says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is actually breaking the commandments of God to worship anyone other than God. We're not supposed to worship angels. We're not to worship created beings. But you see over and over again, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, you see time and again, Jesus, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ being worshiped. And in the New Testament, it says the disciples worshiped him when he saw that he calmed the sea, when they saw that he raised the dead. He received worship. He never refused it. He never rejected it. This was God himself in the flesh.
And we see these kind of always popping up as we're watching. As some of you might like to kind of watch the hand of God move, what Old Lion is pointing out is watching the hand of Satan move. Mm. And we got to keep an eye out for the way that he's deceiving us. Okay, give us maybe your, if there's one or two more final of these false doctrines, do you have any, is there any other more that we should kind of keep an eye out for?
This one's a little trickier and it comes later. So this is, the Gnostics came in 100 AD, the Modalists in 200 AD, the Arians in 300 AD, the Diophysites, and that's a kind of a big 50-cent word.
Okay.
This is the Chalcedonian conference that happened in 451 AD. But this is the idea that Jesus had two persons in one being, two natures. He had a human will and he had a divine will. He had a human personality and a divine personality. And these somehow came together in this one Christ, this one being. And I'm not super mad at that idea, but I think the truth, which is called meophysitism, which is that Jesus was of divine origin, obviously. He was
Son of God.
Son of God came. He was everlasting with the Father in the heavens from before all time. He had a divine origin, and yet he had a physical or fleshly origin. He was literally the son of David through his mother Mary. And so he had these divine and human origins, but these divine and human origins came together into one single person of Jesus Christ, this fleshly Jesus Christ. And there wasn't a struggle between two wills and two natures within Jesus, but rather the two became perfectly one. And I think the technical theological term for that is meophysitism. And so that's kind of where I tend to lean. I'm not sure about you, Young Lion.
The reason why we're even talking about this is because when we hear the Apostle Paul, we open up this book and we see what the Apostle Paul is saying. And he tells us that there's multiple Jesuses, there's multiple Gospels, there's another Christ. Well, we need to be paying close attention to where we find truth. Truth is not found in what Martin Luther wrote all the time. Truth is not finding what Calvin wrote all the time. Not finding your favorite church father and just committing to memory all the things that he said. Truth is found, and we got to be careful. Even though people say the church is the ground and pillar of truth, amen. But Jesus says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So that's if right. If we read in 1 Corinthians, or if we read in 2 Corinthians that there's another Jesus, and then we read this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 22, any of you in this church, if he says, if any of you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be cursed. If you don't love Jesus, you're cursed. That means if you love another Jesus and not the right Jesus, you're cursed. So if that's the case, there's multiple Jesuses and we must find the right one, where in the world do we go to find it? Well, Jesus says in the book of John, chapter number 5, verse number 39, what I think is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, with these guys that thought they understood truth, they thought they knew everything that they needed to know for their own personal salvation and their own spiritual gain. But in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says these words, and you go ahead and search this on yourself. You go ahead and read the entirety of John chapter number 5. John 5, 39 says, search the magazines of the day. Whoa, wait a minute. That might not be the right translation. Jesus says, search out all of the theologians of the day. Nope, he doesn't say that. Oh, okay, here's what he says. Search out and find if there be any good teachers that will show us. That's not what he says. He says, this is what Jesus says. Pay attention. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they, the scriptures, which testify of me. The Bible teaches us who Jesus is. So if you're asking me, how am I going to view Jesus Christ? Am I going to pick one of these ancient heresies? Am I going to find a new heresy for today? I'm going to search the scripture to find out who Jesus is. So if I were to ask you, Old Lion, we're kind of, you asked me, you know, what do I think about Jesus? And I have some passages that kind of jump into my mind. But if we were to say, okay, we see Jesus teaching us that we ought to go back to the scripture to find out who Jesus is. Number one, that puts some responsibility on the reader. Yeah. Folks, You cannot rely on another man for your own spiritual growth. You cannot listen to TikTok or a short or a reel on Facebook and think that that's your spiritual growth. Now, I do recognize that spiritual growth is decades and not days, but you have to do it yourself. You need to study the scripture to see if you can be approved of God, a workman that's rightly dividing the word of truth. So if we were to start in the Old Testament, even in the very early passages you looked at last week, Old Line, that the Bible says us, that God said, let us make man in our own image. We already start to see this tripersonal God. Mm-hmm. But when we specifically come to the Lord Jesus Christ, what are some Old Testament passages that you see that teach us explicitly as we're searching the scriptures who Jesus is? What's one of the Old Testament passages that pop in your mind?
Well, I love Micah 5:2.
Great,
which
great.
Is the passage in
the prophet Micah, the book of Micah in your Old Testament, in the left side of your Bible, Micah chapter number 5, verse number 2. Why is this passage so important? Why do you like it? What does it teach?
Well, first of all, this is the passage where it predicted 800 years before Jesus was even born, it predicted the very town in which he would be born.
Oh, nice. I love that.
So it says this, chapter 5, verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth is from of old, from everlasting. So this is talking about Jesus, who was predicted to be born in Bethlehem. We all know that happened. That's where we celebrate Christmas, O little town of Bethlehem.
Right.
And yet it says his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting.
So we're looking about who Jesus is. Here's one of these passages after Genesis, after the Lord shall not always strive with you, after he walked with Adam in the cool of the day, after he meets Joshua as the captain of the Lord's army, we find some explicit teaching about the character of Jesus in Micah 5:2, which says that he's what? He's eternal. He's from everlasting. I have a similar verse, and I want to read it. Maybe after I get done with this verse, you can show us the Proverbs 30 passage, Old Line. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and I love some of these passages that describe Jesus in the prophetic nature of the writing. Micah 5 proclaims the coming of the Lord, but also declares his past, declares who he was from all time. Isaiah 9 does this very same thing. Isaiah 9, verse 6 is another famous verse that people love. For unto us a child is born. So we're going to see baby Jesus being born. But then he says, unto us a son is given. He's already a son. He is the Son of God. A child is going to be born, but God the Father gave us his son. He didn't become a son when he was born. A son was given to us, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And watch this. And his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. And his name shall be called the Mighty God. It calls him the Everlasting Father, and it calls him the Prince of Peace. If you read this scripture and you find out that the holy prophets of old called Jesus the Mighty God, how dare you fall into some of these other heresies, ancient or modern, who cares? Jesus is the Mighty God. Now, this is just our second verse. There's tons of verses. And let me just be clear before we give Old Line a chance to explain Proverbs chapter number 30. Let me just be very clear. The Bible doesn't just teach a set of understanding that Jesus is God. It declares that Jesus is God. There's no questions to be asked. There's no kind of concerning things to be in wonder about. It only declares who Jesus is, that we ought to be in obedience and in line with the teaching, clearly the declaring of what the Bible teaches. Okay, so what shows up in Proverbs chapter 30?
So this is fantastic. A lot of people like to argue that, well, you know, the Old Testament doesn't say anything about the Son of God. Who's this Johnny-come-lately Jesus?
Oh, no.
But if you read in Proverbs chapter 30, it says this in verse 4, who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth?
Ooh.
What is his name? And what is his son's name?
Let me ask you, Old Line. What is his son's name?
Surely you know.
What's his son's name, Old Line?
Well, we know today the revelation that Jesus Christ is the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
And the one and only, unique, only begotten Son of the Father is Jesus Christ. Young Lion just read that a son was given to us. This son pre-existed all eternity. The Bible says actually that Jesus actually created the world.
That's right.
Not one thing exists, not one tree, not one rock, not one mountain, not this earth, not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, not the sky, not anything in this creation was created except that Jesus himself created it. God did everything through the agency of his own son, Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. So when you want to see God, you got to look at Jesus. And the other thing it says about him is that Jesus is the exact stamp or the exact representation of his nature. It's like it has this image of a stamp coming down. Like, you remember those old typewriters and they put the paper in there?
First of all, old lion, no, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about. But the buttons in the old machines. Yep, okay, go ahead.
Machines, yeah. A little metal image of the letter A would come and would smack into the paper with an ink strip between it. These old school typewriters. This is the message that Hebrews chapter 1 is giving us, that Jesus is the exact stamp of God's nature. He's not just like God. He is God in the flesh.
Well, he's the image of the invisible God. The passages that Sam were alluding to about Jesus being the creator, go look these up. It's John chapter number 1. It's Philippians chapter number 2. It's Colossians chapter number 1. It's Hebrews chapter number 2. It also shows up in Galatians chapter number 3 and Ephesians chapter number 3. And I may be missing a couple of those, but this is incredibly important. And I want to kind of tie this up. There's so much we can go on, but I want to tie this up. In the book of Psalms chapter number 45, I'm going to give a Hebrew tie-in, the book of Hebrews tie-in as well. And I can go to Titus 2:13, and we can go to John chapter 1 verse 1, and we can go to John chapter number 10, and we can go to John chapter number 6, and we can go to John chapter number 8, and we can go to Revelation chapter number 1. This is not a hidden doctrine in the Bible. Though it's a mystery, Jesus is the Christ, and he is God. But in Psalm chapter number 45, and this is an interesting passage that the Father, God the Father, is going to quote to Jesus. But in Psalm 45, verse 6, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness." So what happens is this passage, Psalm 45, gets quoted in Hebrews chapter number 1, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 1 that unto the Son the Father saith, "Thy scepter, O God, is forever and ever." And so the Father, if you want to argue about Jesus being God, you better take it straight up with God the Father. You don't argue with Young Lion, you don't argue with Old Lion, you don't argue with some theologian that wrote a book for $19.99, you don't argue with no person that lives down your block or some guy in the corner that's holding up a sign. You want to argue that Jesus isn't God, you better take it up with his dad. And I don't think you want to do that, because God the Father says that Jesus Christ is God. Now, Christology, the study of who Jesus is, I'm going to give old line, if you want to give a last line, we got to wrap the show up. I'm getting too excited. I'm getting too pumped about what the Word of God teaches, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't even get me started teaching about this, but give a last thought or a last New Testament passage that you want to share before I wrap this show and go deal with some heretics that are even spewing these lies about Jesus' character today.
You mentioned John chapter 1 and verse 1. I got to read it just for the sake of the show. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word," that's the Lord Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it."
Give us verse 14. Read us verse 14. It's so important.
So it says this in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father."
So good.
"Full of grace and truth." We're going to leave you with this thought, listener. Do you know the Father? Do you know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had your sins forgiven? Have you put your faith in him? He wants to come in and not only live with you and be with you forever, he wants to empower you to have a victorious life. He wants you to walk free from sin. He wants you to walk in peace and joy. He wants you to have good relationships with the people in your life. He wants you to be part of a community of faith. This all starts with you having a personal introduction and a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to call out to him Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, shall be saved.
That's good. And anyone who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Now, we're not a show that gets into all kinds of different political things or the sports world or talk a little bit about fashion or what's happening here or there. We're a show that wants to dive deep into the Word of God and proclaim it boldly. We did that today. We hope that you'll stick with us through the rest of this season, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.